I'd like to say good evening to you tonight. It's good to see each one of you. And as we said this morning, Happy New Year to each one of you and to your families. I mentioned this morning about that the Truth for Today publications, and it's out of Searcy, Arkansas, that they are encouraging ministers to, for all their sermons and all their Bible study lessons for this year, to study and preach and offer to others the life of Christ. So in other words, to preach and teach about the life of Christ. And as I mentioned, they have a youth study program and then a video series reaching out to America. This is, I want to see when this is. November 2001, they actually published their first life. I've been getting these periodicals for years. You have to pay for them. But I've been getting them for years, and they had this called The Life of Christ then, and it's, I think it's like 12, 13 different, that go in order, 1, 2, 3, and so on. And then they turned around, and then they put them in hardback form, and then they're two hardback books about the life of Christ. I told Brother Eddie this morning that, where'd he go? I told him this morning that he had one of the Truth for Today books, bound books about the minor prophets, and it had Joel in it. I'm not sure how many others it had in it. That one of the things I'm doing is, I'm getting one of my sons to give me those for Christmas presents. And so I don't know if he got me one this year or not, because we haven't been able to see them yet. Or maybe next weekend, if they're calling for snow here and there, both Thursdays. So we'll see if we get to go or not. But again, this is an undertaking by the Church of Christ to do this. And it's actually the first series by Church of Christ authors since the old Gospel Advocate ones, which were, what, 70 years ago maybe? And I'm sure probably the library here has those, and maybe some of you have those at home and so on. And I was telling Brother Eddie this morning, I think the only New Testament one they lack publishing is the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke. And they have not published that one at all yet, and so I don't have that one, and I think that may be the only one in the New Testament. And then they've done a lot of the Old Testament ones and so on. So The Life of Christ, a challenge to speak about the life of Christ in all sermons and lessons this year. And I know on Sunday mornings that you've been doing that in the Bible class here. The Harmony of the Gospels, studying about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And so you were already doing that here last year in the adult class here on Sunday morning. Well, tonight I would like to, for us to continue talking about the life of Christ. And I want us to talk, the lesson this morning was about faith. Thank you to Brother Tom for leading the songs about faith also tonight, and as you were leading the song, Be With Me, Lord, that's a good song about faith also, our faith and asking the Lord to be with us. And so what I'd like to do tonight, to begin with, I want us to look at some verses as we study about the life of Christ and about faith. I want us to look at some verses in the New Testament, and we're only looking at three different passages about the faith of Jesus. It's recorded for us in the four Gospels. And again, there are many, many verses we could use. I just picked out a few that I'd like for us to use. Will you turn your Bible to Luke chapter 2? Luke chapter 2. And of course, we know the Gospel of Luke has a lot to say about the birth of Jesus Christ. And in verse 40, it kind of jumps from the birth to this part about the life of Christ as a child. Luke chapter 2, verse 40, and the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. And then it tells about them going to Jerusalem. And as they're on their way back from Jerusalem, Jesus, as a boy, stayed behind. It says in verse 46, and so now it was that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." And he said to them, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" And so here, when he is 12 years old, that he already understands who he is, and he understands what he is to be doing in serving his heavenly father. We see great faith in him even at this age. Then, if you will, let's turn to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, and this is about Matthew's recording of the temptations of Jesus. He was led by the Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And so we read the temptations, then let's look at verse 10. Jesus said to Satan, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, 'You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve.'" Great, great faith of our Lord as he is beginning his public ministry here on earth. Then let's look at another passage, if you will, the Gospel of John, John chapter 4. We'll look at verse 34. The Gospel of John, chapter 4, verse 34. Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." Again, he knew by faith, he knew who he was, and he knew what he was to be doing here on this earth. Then let's go to another passage, chapter 9, verse 4. Chapter 9, verse 4. He says, "I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work." And so again, a testimony of his great faith. And what I don't have written down here, what did he do at the cross as he was taking his last breath and so on? He says, "Under my Father," and this is according to which translation you're using or looking at. He said, "I commend my spirit." And so even at the beginning, you see his faith in God. And at the ending of his physical life here on earth, you see his faith in God and knowing what his purpose here on earth was as he was here. Okay, next I want us to look, as we look at the four Gospels and we look at the life of Christ, I want us to look at some things he had to say about our faith. Before we look at that, I heard someone cough. I know who it was, but I heard someone cough. And I just want to say to you that I've had this head cold stuff for a week and a half. Pray that you don't get it. It is unbelievably awful. And maybe I gave it to my twin brother. Maybe not. I think he's holding a little bit of a grudge, because I think he thinks maybe he got it from me. And he says the same thing. It is just unbelievably awful. I know another person, I'm pretty sure I gave it to him. And he said to me, I haven't talked to him 3 or 4 days, so he may have decided that it's me that he got it from. But he said, "This is one of the worst things I've ever had." So this head cold stuff that's going around, if it's a mask, staying away from people, whatever you need to do, try your very best not to get it. I'm on the downhill side now, hopefully, and feeling quite a bit better. Let's see some things that Jesus had to say about our faith. We turn with me to the Gospel of John, John chapter 3, verse 36. Gospel of John, John chapter 3, verse 36. He says, "He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." And so he's speaking about the importance of their faith, and he's speaking about the importance of my faith and your faith today. Matthew chapter 10, let's look at verse 32 and verse 33. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 and verse 33. "Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him will I also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him will I also deny before my Father who is in heaven." Speaking about the importance of us having faith and to confess that faith of Jesus, in Jesus Christ, before our fellow man. And then the Gospel of John, John chapter 9, and that this was read a few moments ago by Brother Ronnie. This is one of my favorite miracles of our Lord, and one of my favorite passages about our Lord in the New Testament. Jesus has healed this blind man, and when the leaders of the Jews, when they hear about it, they demand that he is brought before them and that he tell them who it is that did this to him. And they were questioning him. They were reviling him. And look at what he said in verse 33. He said, "If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered and said to him, "You were completely born in sins, and you are teaching us." Now, sounds a little bit like some from the great theological schools today. Well, who are you? Who do you think you are? Why, you're just a Bible student, and you're trying to tell me something about what the Bible has to say? I've got all these doctorate degrees beside my name. That are religious doctorate degrees and so on. And so who are you to try to tell me anything? And so that's basically what they're saying to him. "And you are teaching us?" And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said to him, "Do you believe in the Son of God?" And he answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him?" And Jesus said to him, "You have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you." And then he said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshiped him. What a wonderful, wonderful miracle that's recorded for us. What a wonderful story about the faith that this man has in his faith in Jesus Christ. Then let's turn to one more. We're speaking about our faith that is recorded here in the Gospels. As we study about the life of Jesus, let's turn to the Gospel of John, John chapter 20. We'll look at verse 24. Gospel of John, John chapter 20, verse 24. "Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them, with the other apostles, when Jesus appeared to them the first time after his death, burial, and resurrection. The other disciples therefore said to Thomas, we have seen the Lord. So he said to them, unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, the disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace to you. Then he said to Thomas, reach your finger here and look at my hands and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. What a great testimony of the faith that Thomas had in Jesus Christ. Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen. And he's talking about us now. And have believed. Blessed are us. And then John goes on and he speaks about why he wrote this epistle. And really it's the reason why Matthew, Mark, and Luke also were written. But he, of course, he's speaking about himself and about writing this. He says that truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and to believe in you may have life in his name. Why did he write these things? Why did Matthew write what he wrote, Mark what he wrote, and Luke what he wrote? That we might believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Speaking about our faith. Well, as we think about faith, we hear a lot about that word today, don't we? And by the way, we also are told that Church of Christ members don't believe in faith. We don't teach about faith. We don't believe in faith. We just believe in baptism. Well, again, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are written so that we would have faith, that we believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And on this first Sunday morning and Sunday night of this year of our Lord 2022, we're speaking about the importance of faith. Well, what is faith? I'm looking around, and I don't think this would fit anybody in here. If your three-year-old daughter, I don't think that's going to get any of us. Your three-year-old granddaughter, that might work better. Asked you, grandmother, what is faith? What would you say to her? Faith. Unquestioning belief in God, complete trust and confidence or reliance on God. Pretty good definition, isn't it? Especially coming from Webster's dictionary. Well, we don't have to look at dictionaries and word studies and things like that. The Word of God defines faith for us. If you turn to Hebrews chapter 11, Hebrews chapter 11, start at verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. And then verse 6, he says, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Speaking about faith, well, what would you say to your grandson or granddaughter as they ask about what faith is? And by the way, you might could say this also to your college age grandson or granddaughter as they go away and they're being taught on all these things that are atheistic ideas and so on. Faith is Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It's believing that God made this world. Faith is Genesis chapter 2, verse 7 and verse 22. Believing that God made me and you. Faith is John chapter 11, verse 20 through verse 27. As I believe this is the story of Mary and Martha, and Jesus comes and Lazarus, the brother, is dead. And so she says that you are the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus is the Son of God, our Savior. And then James chapter 2, verse 14 through 18, faith is obedience to God. James chapter 2, verse 14 through verse 18. James says, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and if one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. And so faith is, it is obedient to the will of God. Well, how do we get faith? Romans chapter 10, verse 17. We're told that about faith, that it comes primarily by the word of God. And I'm using the word primarily. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I use the word primarily because in Romans chapter 1, the Apostle Paul tells us that nature can teach us things that will increase and give us faith. Romans chapter 1, verse 20. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they're without excuse. So primarily we have gain of faith in God through his word. But Paul here also says that through nature, that if we will allow it, that nature will teach us about God. Okay. Let's talk a little bit about levels of faith. Levels of faith. You might be sitting there thinking, well, why do you think I'm out here on a Sunday night when it's raining, it's snowing, and its temperature is going down, if you don't think I have much faith? Well, I didn't say that. I'm just going through the lesson and so that I have prepared. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 10, the Bible speaks about the great faith of the centurion. In the 8th chapter, verse 24 through verse 26, Jesus is speaking to the apostles. He says to them on this instance, he says, you have little faith. In Acts chapter 6, verse 8, we read about Stephen, and it speaks about him that he has strong faith. In Romans chapter 15, verse 1, the apostle Paul speaks about those that have weak faith. In James chapter 2, verse 17, James speaks about those that have dead faith. And then Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13, the Apostle Paul speaks about those that have mature faith. So obviously a very important question tonight is, which level of faith is your faith tonight? Well, again, you've come out on a Sunday night, and it's cold outside, and it's raining, and it's snowing a little bit, and as someone said when Carol and I came in, well, somebody's drug out some winter clothes for tonight and so on. And so I just hope and pray that all of us have strong faith as we're entering into this new year. Well, as we talk about faith and different levels of faith, we talk about faith in Jesus Christ, and we talk about how the four Gospels, Jesus talked about the faith that we ought to have and so on. We need to be reminded of 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 and verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 and verse 9. Peter says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Satan seeks to destroy my faith, and he seeks to destroy your faith. And we must constantly be on guard and aware that he seeks to destroy our faith. Well, how do we resist him, keep him from doing that? The very next verse, he says, resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. And so how do we resist him? Peter says, be steadfast in the faith. Knowing that other Christians have suffered like things. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 19, the Apostle Paul mentions, again, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 19. He says, having faith and a good conscience, which some, having rejected, concerning the faith, have suffered shipwreck. And he goes on and he names them. And he says, I deliver them to Satan that they may learn not to blaspheme. And so again, we need to be aware. We need to be concerned. We need to be forewarned that we have an enemy that tries to shipwreck our faith, try to destroy our faith. I've heard in the last few weeks that we have been here, been here with you, of different prayers, including tonight, about prayers for this congregation going forward and about the change in your preacher that you have coming here, the change from the one you had to the one that you have coming here, and prayers for this congregation and for the elders and so on. Just ask you to just pray that this will be a transition, again, that's good for his family, and also that is good for this family of God's people here, and that it will be a time of for his family of the faith growing stronger, for his family, and also for your family. I've got lots of stories I like to tell. I'm sure you've already noticed that and so on. But one of my favorite ones is we had gone to a new congregation to preach. It was a long ways away, 20-something miles away. It was over in Cheatham County. And we actually started in the first Sunday in December. And unbeknownst to Carol and I, and our sons were both at home still at that time, but unbeknownst to us, as we were asked to go to a Christmas party, it was actually a going away party for the previous preacher. I wouldn't have dared go to that. That was his night and so on with the congregation. I felt like we were intruders, especially when I found out the purpose of the Christmas party. And never forget, on the way out, that different ones were telling us they appreciated us coming and so on and so forth. And this lady said, well, I appreciate you coming. She said, I want you to know one thing. And she said, telling me about how much she appreciated the former preacher and everything. And again, he was there, he and his wife. And how much she appreciated him and loved him and all of that and so on. And then she looked right at me and she said, and I will never, ever accept you. And she was one of my staunchest supporters after a couple of years there and so on. But don't treat your new preacher like that. And let it be a wonderful time of increasing the faith of his family and working to increase the faith of this family together. Hope that this congregation has a wonderful year in this year ahead. As we think about Satan being our enemy and seeking to destroy our faith, I look over the audience tonight and there might be someone that, for whatever reason it might be, I know that Brother Eddie mentioned in the Bible class this morning about different things the coronavirus had done and so on, and I firmly believe that for some people it helped to destroy their faith. And I was talking to a person last week, and he has not gone back to church service. He doesn't have any intentions of going back to church service. He said, I study every day. He's a single man, and he's probably close to 80 years old. And he he studies pretty much all day long, studies the Bible and so on. But as far as sin and need to gather together with the saints to worship, he doesn't see that any longer. And many, many people, our enemy Satan has used that, the coronavirus, to help destroy the faith of many. And so in the last 2 years, it's been tough, it's been rough on so many different levels. And if Satan has used some of that to help to weaken your faith or destroy your faith, we want to just sing this invitation song and encourage you to come back right now as we stand and sing.